And open your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew, the 26th chapter, in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1039, page 1039. We'll be reading verses 47 through 50. We'll read these four verses responsively, and then we'll turn to a passage in Mark and read some other verses. Matthew chapter 26, verses 47 through 50. I want to say thank you to the church family for praying for me during my time of being a little bit under the weather. Thank you so much. Your prayers, your love, your kindnesses, and expressions of love meant so much to me. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave him a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Now in the book of Mark, the 8th chapter, page 1056 in your Scofield Bible, starting with the 27th verse, we'll read through verse 33. Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 33, page 1056, we'll read these verses also responsively. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Let's read together also the 33rd verse. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the way our hearts have been blessed, our souls have been thrilled with the services of this day. And you've got something else for us. Give us the alertness of heart and mind to receive that which you have for us from your word. And bless, we pray, our preacher. Have your hand upon him for the ministry of the word. Have your hand upon us, for except that we hear and do thy word, it shall come to naught. We pray that thou wouldst bless now and help that all will be blessed of thee in a singular way in this time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak tonight from, I'm going to read some more verses that you did not read a while ago. You need not turn to them. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye shall resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. I wish I could get my people to believe the Bible. I wish I could get the people in this room to believe all the Bible. Most of you care nothing about the scriptures I'm reading right now. Somebody hits you, pow. Somebody slanders you, let them have it. That's not Christianity. Jesus said that whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Do you see that? Somebody takes you to court, says, I want something from you. Say, okay, I'll give you more than you asked for. Here's more. It's in the Bible. You don't believe it. It's in the Bible. Oh, you believe the part that says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But you don't believe this part. It goes on to say, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain, out thou away. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Most of you ought to tear the next two verses out of your Bible. You don't believe them. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Tonight I want to speak on a very unusual subject. I want to speak on the subject to my enemies of 40 years. To my enemies of 40 years. I want you to think of yours as I speak to those people who for 40 years have come and gone, who've been enemies of this preacher. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you'd help us to enter into New Testament Christianity. Help us to be Christians in the New Testament sense. And give us, I pray, the attention of all the people tonight. Amen. Tonight, I would like to address a group of people that is scattered across many miles. People, I'm sure, some of whom live in every state of the Union. Tonight, I would like to address a group of people that are scattered not only across many miles, but across many years. For 40 years, as a preacher of the gospel, I have lived with the awareness that some people hate me. I have lived with the awareness that this hatred is nationwide in almost, if not every state in the Union. Tonight, I would like to address those who are my enemies. Not those here in this room. No preacher has more people who are kind and gracious to him than I do. And I do not feel at all like the people of this room need what I'm going to say. But I was in East Texas recently, and I got to thinking as I was there for a couple of days about my young ministry, and I got to thinking about some of the people in East Texas who are my enemies. I came from East Texas to the Dallas-Fort Worth airport, and I flew over Dallas, and I got looking down and thinking of people in the great Dallas-Fort Worth area who were my enemies. Tonight, I would like to address all of those people who for 40 years have been my enemies. Some will hear me from heaven. Others will hear me on tape. As they hear this sermon played, still others will hear by word of mouth. And maybe, perchance even some, may be in this room tonight. What I will say tonight can be summarized by these words. I thank God for my enemies. I thank God for those who for all these years have been my enemies. Oh, I do not say that I enjoy having enemies. And I know it is easier to thank God for my friends. And I do thank God for my friends. No one has been blessed with as many close, dear, precious friends as this preacher. Nobody has ever pastored a church of people more thoughtful than the people of this church. And no preacher ever hears the words, I love you, or reads the words, I love you, more than I do. No preacher has a finer group of people. Not only do I have many wonderful friends in this church, but all over America and around the world, God has given me a group of people who love me and who are my friends. Almost everywhere I go, people say, look at all that hair. Words of affection and hurt. But almost everywhere I go, people walk up and say, show us your muscles. And some even say, Reverend Boopsy Whoopsy. But it's almost cultish. I mean that there's almost a loyalty around the nation of literally hundreds of thousands of people to this church. This church is the headquarters of fundamentalism in America. I mean old-fashioned, hell, fire, and brimstone, rock rib. Black is black, white is white, the Bible's the Word of God. You must be born again, separated from the world, fundamentalism. This world, this church, is the headquarters of it in this nation, no doubt about it. And people look to us. And I thank God tonight for not only the dear friends that I have here, for whom and with whom I've labored for these many years, but I thank God tonight for that great legion of friends all over the nation and around the world. But tonight, I want to turn from that crowd of loyal people who love me. I want to thank God tonight for another group of people. I want to thank God for my enemies for these 40 years. And I speak to you as a group, you in heaven. And I think there are a few of you that didn't quite make it. But most of them did. I thank God tonight for my enemies. Now, as I speak to all of you, both who hear me in or those who hear me in heaven, those who hear me on tape, and perchance even someone in the room tonight, though I do not know who you are. At first, you surprised me. I did not know in those early days that you existed. I wasn't expecting you. When I entered the ministry, I'll be quite frank with you, I did not know that preachers had enemies. I was a young man. I was naive. And I remember when the first of you came to me in East Texas, I did not know how to react. I did not know the scriptures. Love those that hate you. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Bless those that curse you. If you're smitten on one cheek, turn the other. Man asks for your cloak, give him your coat also. I did not know these scriptures. And I'll be quite frank with you. In those early days, I'm afraid I did not know the scriptural way to react to you, my enemies. I'm afraid in those early days, I often fought you back, and I'm sorry. I'm afraid in those early days I even preached against you from the pulpit. And I'm sorry. I'm afraid in those early days I did not turn the other cheek. And I'm sorry. I'm afraid in those early days I did not bless you when you cursed me. And I'm sorry. I'm afraid that in those early days I did not love you when you hated me. And I'm sorry. I'm afraid that in those early days I did not pray for you when you despitefully used me. And I'm sorry. The other day, I was asked at a question-answer session, Dr. Hiles, if you had your life to live over again, can you think of any changes you'd make? And I said quickly, yes, I can think of one. If I had my life to live over again, I'd like to take back some of the things I said to my enemies many years ago. I'd like to take back some of the things I did to my enemies many years ago. If I had my life to live over, I'd like to live over some of those days when I did not know the Bible teaches me to love those that hate me and do good to those that do evil to me and bless those that curse me and pray for those that despitefully use me. If I had my life to live over, I'd like to live over some of the early days of my ministry when I retaliated, when I sought revenge. I was sincere. God knows that I was. But I did not understand it. And so I'd like to say tonight, those people over 40 years of my ministry, my enemies, I have not always enjoyed you. But tonight, I thank God for you. Thank you for hating me. For had you not hated me, I could never have obeyed God's command to love those that hate me. Thank you for cursing me. For had you not cursed me, I could not have obeyed the command of God to bless those that curse me. Thank you for despitefully using me. For had you not despitefully used me, I could not have prayed for those who despitefully use me. Thank you for smiting me, my enemies. For had you not smitten me, I could have not turned the other cheek. Thank you for taking my coat. For had you not taken my coat, I could not have heeded the admonition of the Scripture. If a brother asks for your coat, give him your cloak also. Thank you for making me go a mile. For had you not forced me to go a mile, I could not have gone 2 miles with you. May I say this? That's what I've done for 24 years. I have not always turned the other cheek, but I have for 24 years. I've not always blessed those that curse me, but I have for 24 years. I've not always loved those that hated me, but I have for 24 years. I'm not lying to you. I'd rather die now than lie behind the sacred desk. And I may sometimes tell you something that's not true, but not to my knowledge. I would rather die tonight and stand behind this pulpit and tell you something that isn't true. And I say this tonight with one hand on this book, with my heart laid bare. For 24 years, I've not had bitterness in my heart toward anybody. For 24 years, I've not hated anybody. For 24 years, I've tried to love those that hate me and pray for those that despitefully use me and bless those that curse me. I don't claim to have apprehended. I do not claim to even be a good Christian. But I do say this, on my face, in a little hospital room in Dyer, Indiana, when our little girl, Linda, was on the brink of death, I got on my knees and I promised God I'd love my enemies from that day to this. I want to thank tonight my enemies. I want to thank God for you because you have caused me to have the opportunity to obey the commands of my Lord in my relationship with you. I'm sorry
that before 24 years ago, I often smote you back. I'm sorry that before 24 years ago, I maybe wanted to smite you back. I'm sorry that for 6 months of bitterness, for the 6 months of bitterness I had toward you when I was about 30 years of age, in one of the darkest hours of my life, when I thought my ministry was gone, I became bitter. And for 6 months of my life, bitterness filled my soul when I was about 30 years of age. And I apologize tonight to my enemies for allowing bitterness to come in my heart. Because if I'm bitter toward anybody, it's not you who loses, it is I who loses. And if I shoot you, the bullet boomerangs and hits me also. I'm sorry on occasion when you hated me, I hated you. I'm sorry on occasion when you cursed me, I cursed you. I'm sorry on occasion when you did me evil, I did you evil back. Then one day, we took our little girl Linda to Dyer Mercy Hospital to have her tonsils removed. Just a simple tonsillectomy, removing of the tonsils and the adenoids. Usual routine thing. We took her in the, checked in the hospital early one morning. She had them removed. We were sitting in the room waiting for her to come back, and she did come back. And as she was recuperating there in the room with other children, I was reading the Chicago Tribune. All of a sudden looked up to see how she was doing. And little Linda was swimming in a pool of blood. I guess there was that much blood. Made her hair matted with blood. Looked over and I picked up her little body. Did not know she was a free bleeder. Picked up her little body. Blood dripping on the hospital. And picked her up and ran down the corridor of Dyer Mercy Hospital crying, "Call the doctor, she's dying. Call the doctor, she's dying." And the nurse started screaming, "Call the doctor." The nurse took her from my arms and ran down the hospital and said, "Call the doctor, she's bleeding to death. Call the doctor, she's dying. Call the doctor." I'll never forget when they rolled or carried that little body with the blood dripping from a little hair, 4 years old she was, through the door that said no admittance, surgery. And I turned to walk away. I walked down the hallway. I walked in a room that was empty and dark, out here at Dyer Mercy Hospital. I got on my knees and I said, "Dear God, I'm going to ask you for something that I want badly. But before I ask you for something, I want you to tell me if there's anything between me and you that would hinder my prayer being heard and my prayer being answered." And as soon as I said that, as if somebody had flashed a slide on a screen, I saw the face of a deacon that I'd pastored in Texas. A deacon against whom I had ill will. A deacon whom, if he had seen me walking down the street, would not have stayed on the same side of the street. He'd have walked across the street till he passed me and back across the street. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, I had something in my heart against my enemy. And I said, "Dear God, whether you make little Linda well or not, as soon as I get up in this room, off my knees, I'm going to go call that deacon and try to make it right." And I said, "Dear God, please heal our little girl. Let her live and have a normal lifespan." And I said, "Dear God, I promise you, I'll not harbor this bitterness in my heart anymore." God did, praise His name, heal our girl. She's now a lovely lady, 28 years of age, with two children of her own. But from the moment I knelt Dyer Mercy Hospital on the third floor in a little dark hospital room and said, "Dear God, take this bitterness out of my heart." From that moment, and God hears me when I say this, from that moment till this, I've never harbored bitterness in my heart toward anybody. And there's not a human who lives tonight, not a one. But what if he stabs me in the breast? I'll take the knife and give it back to him, buy him a new knife if he needs it. There's not a man in this world whom I wouldn't feed tonight if he were hungry. There's not a person living tonight whom I would not clothe if he were naked. There's not a person living tonight whom I would not help if he needed help. I'm simply saying tonight, thank God for my enemies. For I would not have known to love you had I not had you. I could not have turned the other cheek had you not smitten one. I could not have blessed thee had you not cursed me. I thank God tonight, after 40 years of preaching all over this country, and there's no preacher alive who's criticized any more than I am. I do not know why. Maybe it's because of the size of the church. I do not know why. But probably no preacher alive who's criticized more than I am. But I refuse tonight. I refuse tonight. I refuse tonight to live with revenge in my heart. I refuse tonight to live with vengeance in my soul. I refuse tonight to bless, to curse those that curse me and hate those that hate me. I refuse it. I cannot make you love me, but you cannot keep me from loving you. I wish I could show you my heart. I often feel around the country when I'm preaching. I'd like to take this little knife I carry, a pocket. Always carry a knife because I'm a switchblader from City Baptist High School. I take this little knife. And sometimes I wish I could take it and just cut my heart open and let you see it. You'd find a heart of love. That's the truth. You really would. My sword is sheathed. My tongue is bridled. My guns are stacked. My arsenal is empty. My quiver is bare. I cannot criticize you and will not knowingly hurt you. If I had David's sword at the cave where thou art sleeping, I would not smite thee. I have not allowed in these 24 years, I speak to my enemies all over the world tonight, I've not allowed others to speak ill of thee in my presence. I have not asked my friends to shun thee. I desire my friends to be your friends, even though you're my enemy. And I do not say that you're all bad because you are my enemies. No doubt I have on occasion deserved you. Perhaps I have left the wrong impression at times, or perhaps you did not totally understand. And though I've never wanted you to be my enemies, I've always needed you. Without thee, I would not have known God as well. You have allowed me to spend more time with him, for us to get to know each other better. You have taught me to love those that hate me. Thank you for teaching me. You have taught me to pray for those that despitefully use me. Thank you for allowing me. You've taught me to bless those that curse me. Thank you for making it possible. And I'm grateful. And though I have not totally been able to rejoice and be exceeding glad as I'm commanded to in the Scriptures, I'm grateful. And I love you. And if you desire an enemy, you must look elsewhere. If you desire a fight, I will not oblige you. You hate me, and I'll love you back. You can't keep me from it. You curse me, and I'll bless you back. You can't keep me from it. You take my coat, and I'll give you my coat, and I'll give you my cloak. You can't keep me from it. You smite me, and I'll turn the other cheek. And you can't keep me from it. You say, "Preacher, how is this possible? How is it possible for you to speak to hordes of enemies over 40 years around the world? How could you say to people who hate you, 'I love you'? How could you say to people who curse you, I'll bless you. How could you say to people who despitefully use you, I'll pray for you? How could you say to people who have smitten your cheek, I'll turn the other cheek? How could you sheath your sword and stack your arms and bridle your tongue and empty your arsenal and bear your quiver? How could you do it?
I'll tell you how. See, I once did evil to a man. Say, please take the baby out immediately. Thank you. You see, I once did evil to a man, myself.
I once took a hammer and drove nails into a man's hand. You have not done to me near what I've done to a man. I once said, crucify him! Crucify him! And I once delivered him to the hands of an angry mob. I once placed the kiss of betrayal upon his brow. I once stood and warmed my feet with the fire and followed afar off as they took the lovely Lord away to Calvary. I took a cat of nine tails in my hand and I beat his back beyond recognition. I joined the crowd that said, release Barabbas! Release Barabbas! Crucify Jesus! Crucify him! Crucify him! My voice joined that crowd and my sin put him naked at the mercy of the scourgers. I held the coats of those that nailed his hands and feet to a cross. I put nails in his hands. I put nails in his feet. I put a crown of thorns on his brow. I put a spear in his side. I mocked him and put him as a mock king and put a sign over him. This is the king of the Jews. I did it. And while I did it, he opened his mouth and said, Father, forgive him. They know not what they do. And if he who knows sin can forgive me, who is sin, I can forgive you, a fellow sinner. And if he whose feet never walked an evil path, whose mind never had an evil thought, whose hands never did an evil deed, whose heart never had an evil motive, whose lips never spoke an evil word, if he, after I had crucified him, could say, Father, forgive him, he knows not what he does. I do not understand to save my life why those of us sinners saved by his grace have to harbor ill will toward each other. But he did more than that. He forgave me, but he justified me. He pronounced me as if I had never sinned. And though I was a lot and parcel in crucifying him, and though these hands drove nails in his, and though this tongue and this sinful body and life and heart of mine put him on the cross, not only did he forgive me, but he, when I trusted him, erased every sin I ever committed from his judicial record in glory. I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus today. The sins I've committed, they're all in the past. They've all been forgiven. And he holds me fast. I'm justified. I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus today. That isn't all he did. Not only did he forgive me, but he justified me. But not only that, he saved me. Wrote my name in the book of life. Delivered me from the fires of hell. Not only that, he tonight is preparing a home in the glory land where I can live forever. Not because I'm righteous, for I'm not. I'm unrighteous. I'm a sinner, saved by his grace, forgiven by his love, justified by his justice, saved by his mercy, redeemed by his blood, indwelt by his spirit, led by his word, saved by his son, and headed for heaven by his amazing grace. And I didn't deserve a bit of it. You're looking tonight at a man that deserved to go to hell. And I'm looking at thousands of folks tonight who deserve to burn in hell. Understand it. If he could forgive us after all we've done for him, certainly we ought to forgive each other for what mistakes others have made to us. Often I've mentioned this. I always wanted to go to the Holy Land. Not many folks want to go now. They're chicken. But I always wanted to go to the Holy Land. I always wanted to go to the place where they took his little body and laid it in swaddling clothes and put it in the manger. I always wanted to go to the place where he knelt and prayed on the mountain. I'd always wanted to go to the place where he was baptized in Jordan. I always wanted to go to the place where he turned the water into wine. I always wanted to go to the place where he fed the 5,000. I always wanted to go to the place where he was tried wrongly in Pilate's hall. I've always wanted to go to the place where he was crucified, the Calvary. I've always wanted to go and see the tomb was empty, and I did see, and the tomb is empty. I always wanted to go. Dreamed of going. So finally, one year, we got to go. We went the first time for the Bob Jones tour. About 23 of us, I think, on the tour. I think we stopped on the way in Paris. Yes, we did. We stopped in Rome, but I wanted to see Calvary. We stopped in Greece, but I wanted to see Calvary. We saw the Parthenon, but I wanted to see Calvary. We saw Corinth, but I wanted to see Calvary. We saw the Colosseum, but I wanted to see Calvary. We saw the catacombs, but I wanted to see Calvary. We went to Egypt and saw the pyramids, but I wanted to see Calvary. We saw the tombs of the kings, but I wanted to see Calvary. We saw the Museum of Egypt with King Tut's possessions displayed, but I wanted to see Calvary. We saw the Sphinx, but I wanted to see Calvary. We went to the Promised Land. I walked one day where Jesus walked. We saw the place he was baptized. And I baptized several people in the Jordan River while a crowd on the bank sang, "On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie." And I buried folks in baptism while the crowd on the banks of the Jordan sang it. We went to the Sea of Galilee. We saw that hill where he preached his sermon to the 5,000, where he fed the loaves and fishes to them and multiplied them miraculously. We saw the synagogue in Capernaum where Peter had gone when he was growing up. We went to Bethlehem and sang there, "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie." We went one day to Calvary, the little place, the bus station there now at the bottom of that little hill, but there was none there then. It's a hill, looks just like a face. It's sort of a embankment. It's not very high. I don't think it's any higher than probably, not as high maybe as this auditorium is. On top, there's a cemetery. And there are layers of stone. And you can see two places that probably represent sunken eyes. And a place looks like a mouth. And a place above the eyes looks like the place of a skull.
We knelt. I'd always dreamed of kneeling there. I'd sung as a child. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. I'd sung on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. I'd sung at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. Now I'm kneeling, and I'm looking at Calvary, weeping uncontrollably. People left, but I couldn't leave. I was there alone. All of our crowd had gone back and gotten on the bus, but I couldn't go. That's where it happened. That's where my sin debt was paid. That's where my Savior died. That's it. And I began to sing, cry and cry and sing. I can still see Dr. Bob Jones Jr. coming back a little upset with me. He said, Brother Hiles, Dr. Hiles, we've got to go. Everybody's waiting on you. And I said, I can't go yet. Can't go yet. I told that story and somebody asked me what I was thinking about as I looked at Calvary. And this is what I said. I thought, if he could do that for me, I don't ever want to hate anybody again as long as I live. And I don't ever want to speak unkindly again about anybody as long as I live. Ladies and gentlemen, you have enemies like I have. There are those that would do you ill and those that have and will try to do you ill. But my Bible tells me to love them and tells you to love them. And my Bible tells you to bless them and tells me to bless them. My Bible tells me to pray for them. And your Bible tells you to pray for them. I wish tonight every person in this room could lie down to rest and sing, nothing between my soul and the Savior, nought of this world's elusive good. I tried to find him. This fella, my enemy in Texas. I rushed to the telephone while Linda was still on the operating table, tottering between life and death. I called Garland, Texas, but didn't live there anymore. They said, move to Commerce. I called Commerce. There's no name listed in the phone book, no phone under his name. I tried for weeks to find him. One night I was preaching a sermon in East Texas, a little town called Greenville, Texas. Little church wasn't as big as, wasn't much bigger than this section right through here. Had two sections about like this, and I guess each section about half the size, and a wall here. I walked out and I saw that deacon and his wife sitting on the fourth rope in the front. My first thought was to duck before he shot me. And I said, dear God, if you'll let me live, I'll get it out of my heart before I leave. And that night, when the service ended, I started to go back and I bumped into him. And from that moment to this, I've never hated anybody. I'm not perfect. I could list my faults to you. For example, I'm stubborn. I always think I'm right. Do you know why I always think I'm right? Because I'm always right. And I say that humbly. I've got my faults, many of them, far too many. God knows when He spared our little girl. The other day,
I preached in Tyler, Texas. Linda and Becky live in Dallas, and I had to fly through Dallas to get to Tyler. I had to fly back to Dallas. So I called them, and I said, Puddin' 1, Puddin' 2, call all the girls Puddin', Puddin' 1, Puddin' 2, Puddin' 3. I said, won't you meet me for breakfast Saturday morning? And then if we have time before my plane leaves in Dallas, I'll take you by your dress. And we had time. I'm sorry to say. Well, nearly time. We went and looked at some dresses, and I didn't have time to stay. And so I told the little lady, I said, if I gave you my American Express credit card and signed the slip, could they just go ahead and buy after I'm gone? And don't ever do that, folks. Don't ever do that. Oh, brother, don't ever do that. But as Linda was trying on a dress, I saw a little faint scar on her forehead. I remembered when she was a year and a half, she fell off the porch and fell into some little thorns and caused a scar here. And I saw that graceful body as it was trying on dresses. And my mind wandered back 24 years ago, when she swam in a pool of blood, a beginner girl. And I remember that night, or that morning, I knelt. I thank God tonight for my friends. Thank God for my friends. But to those for over 40 years who've hated me, I also thank God for you. And I love you, and I will do thee no ill. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for Calvary. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for justification. Thank you for loving us when we hated you, saying, Father, forgive them, when we were part and parcel in your crucifixion.